Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is in the book of Hebrews. And we are now on lesson five of part three of Hebrews. And our lesson today is going to be from Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 29, and the first nine verses of Hebrews chapter 13. But before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come back together and study your word. Father, we know that your word is truth. And Father, that we as believers have come to accept and believe upon your word through the Holy Spirit, we get understanding. And we are asking today, Father, that you teach us through the Holy Spirit. Give us the knowledge and wisdom to understand your truth, Father, that we may bring you honor and glory. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Now, let's kind of review. Each time that we start another lesson, we like to review and see the things that the Hebrew writer has already written down. To be able to get us to the picture of what he is saying in these verses that we're studying today. We know that the Hebrew writer is a man called by God, and he has given these words to the Hebrew Christian that had been saved. They had been taught the gospel. Previously, they were living under the law, but now they have learned the gospel. And that gospel is about Jesus, that he is the Son of God, and that he came to this earth in the flesh, and he went to the cross and died for our sins and for these Hebrew Christians that the writer is writing to. And we know that the third day he rose again. And now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he intercedes for us as we come before him. And so, looking at Hebrews chapter 1, the Hebrew writer said that God spoke in his Son. And also, he taught us that the Son of God is better than angels. Now, in chapter 2, we were taught by the Hebrew writer, which is led by the Holy Spirit, to pay close attention to what Jesus is saying so that we won't neglect our salvation. And we learned in that chapter that Jesus is the Son of God, and he became man, and now he is our faithful and merciful high priest. In chapter 3, the writer taught us that the Son is faithful over God's house. And we are God's house if we hold on till the end. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer said to hear his voice and not to harden our hearts in unbelief. And he also stated that the evil, unbelieving heart falls away from the living God, and therefore they won't enter into God's rest. And in chapter 5, we learned that priests deal gently with the ignorant and misguided people, and that Jesus is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And in Hebrews 6, the writer said to press on to maturity, because there were some at that time were falling away. And he told them and us to show diligence and to realize that full assurance of hope is all the way to the end. And he said, don't be sluggish, but imitate the faith of those who inherit the promise. And then in Hebrews 7, it was about Melchizedek, the Levitical priest, and the Lord Jesus that is our priest forever. And Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. And in chapter 8 of Hebrews, the main point in that chapter was that Jesus is our high priest, and he is seated in heaven at God's right hand. And then in chapter 9, the writer said that Jesus entered a greater and more perfect tabernacle in heaven through his own blood, which is the blood of the new covenant. And in chapter 10, we learned that Jesus' body was offered once for all to sanctify and perfect us. And the writer said, therefore, we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace for help. And then, as we studied in chapter 11, we learned that faith is assurance and conviction of things not seen. So, we looked at that chapter and learned from that chapter, as the Hebrew writer enlightened us, of the men of old, the old prophets, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joseph, all of these, they gained approval by God by their faith as they endured life. They received their salvation the same as we receive ours, through faith. And it's through the grace of God. It's the gift that was given to mankind by his son, Jesus. Okay, now then we're at Hebrews chapter 12. And today we're going to start in verses 18 through 29. In these first verses of Hebrews, the first 17 verses that were part of the letter, we see that there was a warning given by the writer. So, from the last warning that was in Hebrews 10, the context has been exhorting or encouraging all believers to live by faith and to endure the discipline that comes when we are not carrying out the will of God. But God has to discipline his children when we are disobedient to his word. So he tells us in those first chapters, first verses of chapter 12, to not take the discipline of God lightly or faint when we are reproved by his discipline. So we're to be subject to the Father of spirits and live. And then in verse 15, he said, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. And now we are starting and looking at verses 18 through 29. And I will read these verses, and then we'll look at what they're saying. Starting in Hebrews 12, verse 18 through 29. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched in a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, for they could not cope with the command. And the command was from God. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let's show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, in these verses, first of all, we see that in verse 15 that it said, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And in verse 25, he says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And that's similar to what we learned in chapter 2 of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3. He said, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart in unbelief. So, here we want to look at this mountain that he's talking about. It says, for you have not come to a mount that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind. So, when you look at this, you need to do the contrast between Mount Zion and, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. So let's look at some scripture in Exodus that talks about the time that the people came to Mount Zion. And remember, whenever God was leading the people by Moses, and it was a mountain, Mount Sinai was, that couldn't be touched. And it was an earthly one. Reading Exodus chapter 19, verses 12 through 25, tells us about that time in the Old Testament, starting with verse 12. But you shall set boundaries for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain to touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall certainly be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall certainly be stoned or shot through, whether animal or person. The violator shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and concentrated the people, and they washed their garments. He also said to the people, "Be ready for the third day, and do not go near a woman." So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there was thunder and lightning, flashes and thick clouds over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai, was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the entire mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. And then the Lord came down to Mount Sinai, to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down, warn the people so that they do not break through to the Lord to stare, and many of them perish. Also have the priests who approach the Lord concentrate themselves, or else the Lord will break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set boundaries around the mountain and concentrate it.'" And then the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priest and the people break through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. So it was a mountain that couldn't be touched. And this verses that we have read, it says it was the third month after God had led Israel out of Egypt that they came to the wilderness of Sinai. And the Lord came down on the third day. And we see in reading this that it was a terrifying scene for the people. And even Moses said in Hebrews 12:21 that he was full of fear and trembling. And the top of the mountain was like cloud of fire and smoke, and it quaked. And as we read, there were boundaries set that someone touched the mountain, not even the animals. And then God spoke the Ten Commandments from the top of the mountain so that all the people heard his voice. But they didn't want to hear it anymore because of the terror connected with it. So from that time, God spoke to Moses, and Moses told the people what he said. And then in going further into Exodus 20, we see that here he said that God came to test them so that the fear of him would remain in them so that they wouldn't sin. And then he tells us that it was an awesome scene of the holiness of a living God, that he is a consuming fire. That's what that 21st, some of these verses, not the 25th, we see that previously it told us that God was a consuming fire. And so, now then, let's look that to make a comparison, let's look at some scripture in the book of Revelation that we can compare the old covenant with the new covenant The old covenant was represented through Mount Zion, and the heavenly Jerusalem, it's not the earthly, but it's a heavenly Jerusalem, which is the city of the living God. And Revelation chapter 5, 1 through 14, tells us some things that are now in comparison with the new covenant that we have through Jesus and his blood. Let's read, starting with verse 1 of chapter 5 of Revelation. I saw, this is John, he had a vision, and he said, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, in the right hand of God, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to be able to open the scroll and the seven seals. And I, John, saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him, God, who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and break its seals, for you were slaughtered, and you purchased people for God with your blood from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You have made them into a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessings. And I heard every created thing which is in heaven or on earth or under the earth or on the sea and all the things in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing, the honor, the glory, and the dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures were saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So, now, this is the new heaven. This is the new covenant. This is not the old, which was Mount Zion that was on earth. But now we're seeing this comparison of what the new heaven is like and what is taking place. So, believers in the new covenant come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, and it's where all will be judged. And there we read there are myriads of angels that are before God in the general assembly. So the church, which is the believers, are those who are enrolled here in heaven, in the the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect might by a reverence of believers who had died or to all believers. And here we learn in these scriptures that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant because he brought his blood as a sacrifice. And it's through his blood that those who are part of the new covenant are righteous. So we see that all now that are part of it are righteous and holy. And let's look at chapter 22 of Revelation, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as a crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. So, we see in these verses how that the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is so different from Mount Sinai, because they couldn't come near, they couldn't touch it because it was holy, and they couldn't come into the presence of God at that time. But now in the new Jerusalem, all believers will come forth into the sanctuary of God and will be in his presence. There won't be any fear of coming before him. And that's where we see there's so much difference in the old and the new. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. And let's see what verse 26 through 27 taught us as we read that. As we go back, I'm going to go back and look at those verses again so that we can see how it said in these verses, in verse 25, it said that it was a warning, said, for if those who did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will they escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven? And then in verse 26, he said, and his voice, God's voice, shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And his, by that expression, yet once more denotes a removing of those things which can be shaken, those created things, so that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. And here, in going back and looking in the Old Testament at the book of Haggai, the second chapter, verses 6 and 7, God said through Haggai that he will shake the heavens and the earth once more, and he'll also shake the nations and fill his house, the temple in Jerusalem, with glory. So Haggai was prophesying after the second temple was built by the Jews who returned from the 70 years of Babylon exile And he warned those in Jerusalem of a coming judgment because they didn't obey God. So here we're seeing the created things will be removed, and what remains will be the things that cannot be shaken. Whenever God comes and the second coming of Christ, then there's going to be a time whenever he will shake the heavens and the earth and remove all the created things, and Jesus will set up his kingdom, and this will be things that cannot be shaken. So at that time, God will dwell among his people, and there'll be no tears, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. All things will be made new. And the overcomers are those who endure. And nothing unclean will be in New Jerusalem. So, that's what we're looking at now, in looking and seeing the contrast between the old covenant, the old Mount Zion, and the new Mount Sinai, which is going to be the old covenant was Mount Sinai, and the new covenant is Jerusalem, Mount Zion. So as we go forward and look now in these verses, we see here that God has made a promise to all believers. We saw in Revelation how that we as overcomers will be a part of the new covenant, the new Jerusalem. Now, we want to take just a few minutes more to look at chapter 13 and see what the author of Hebrews is telling us as brothers and sisters in these verses in chapter 13. The main point is going to be observation of this chapter, and we'll be looking at the main points. I'll read chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Let love of the brothers and sisters continue. Do not neglect hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are badly treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Verse 7, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their way of life, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be misled by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. So, what then are the main points that he is saying in verses 1 through 9? He is saying to continue in love for the brethren, and you do that by showing hospitality. And then he's saying, remember those Christians that are in prison. You remember that some of the Hebrew Christians had been put in prison because of their faith and belief in Christ. And he's saying, don't forget about your brothers and sisters that have been put in prison. And then he tells them in these verses to honor their marriage. And God will judge those that are adulterers and fornicators. And then he goes on to say, don't love money, but be content with what you have. And also he is saying to imitate the faith of those who spoke the word of God to you. There had to be someone that had to speak the word of God, the gospel, to these believers, just like us today. There had to be someone, either a preacher or another believer or a teacher, to speak God's word to us, that we might hear the word and that we might be convicted and become believers. And he's saying that you're to imitate their faith by doing the same thing that they do, by speaking to others. And then he finishes up here by saying, don't be carried away by varied and strange teachings. In other words, we're not to look at other teachings that are not of God's word. They are strange and they are not true. And that's what he's encouraged them and us. So we will go further next week in chapter 12. We'll probably review these verses again, but we're going to continue then next week in our study, and we'll be in chapter 13 mostly in that study. So my prayer is that each and everyone that is listening today to the teachings of God's Word, that all believers will be encouraged, that we will get strength and help through the Holy Spirit of what He has taught us in God's Word. And I pray that anyone that may be listening today that has not ever come to believe upon the name of Jesus, my prayer is that you will listen to what God is saying in all of His teachings, and that you, by faith, will believe upon His word, that you will repent of your sins. Because remember that all are sinful. We of all come short of our faith from Adam. And it's only through faith that we can have salvation by the grace of God through His Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So my prayer is that each and anyone that is listening that has not accepted Jesus, that today will be the day of salvation for you. Because if you seek Him, you will find Him. The Word teaches us that. All that seek Him will find Him. Now let us close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your truths, your word. Thank you for your statutes, for your commandments. Thank you for these great saints that you inspired to write your word, Father, that we may have your truths. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit has encouraged many hearts today that have listened. And I pray for those that, Father, have not known you as Lord and Savior and hasn't come to accept Jesus, that today will be the day of salvation for them. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.